Scott, Forest Ranger. Today we present the first in a series of programs on forest conservation, featuring Bill Scott, Forest Ranger. Our scene is Beaver Dam Forest. The sun, high in the heavens, is beating its bright, strong rays down upon the green-topped trees. Only an occasional flicker of light penetrates to the bottom of Devil's Cove and its clear, rapidly flowing stream. But the narrow trail, which runs perilously some 200 feet above the stream, is not so shaded. Here the tree growth is less dense. The sun's glare beats unmercifully upon the two boys who are making their weary, cautious way along the trail, a travel route far more familiar to the hoofs and paws of wild animals than to the faltering feet of two desperate youngsters fighting their way out of the bewildering forest. Suddenly, the lad who is lagging behind breaks a long silence.
Joe, what? Joe, I'm scared. Good and scared.
Oh, snap out of it, Sam. So we're lost. So what? We'll get out of here.
Sometimes lost people stay lost, Joe.
Don't talk like
that. We shouldn't have left camp last night.
We were free right after we finished the supper dishes, weren't we?
Yeah, but if we had waited until this morning for a hike in the woods, we wouldn't have gotten lost. Well, I'm not blaming you, Joe. We just didn't use our heads, that's all.
Okay, fella. See, what time do you think it is?
I guess it's around noon.
That's your stomach time, isn't it?
Well, look at the sun, just about overhead. That makes it midday, doesn't it?
Yeah. Feeling better, Sam?
I'm all right. Hungry as a bear, though, at that.
I wonder if there are any bears around here.
What'd you say, Joe?
Oh, nothing. Just that I was hungry as a bear, too, and thirsty. Boy, am I thirsty. Say, Sam, let's drop down to that stream and fill up with water.
I wouldn't, Joe.
Why not? It looks clean and it's flowing fast.
I read somewhere that it's a good idea not to take chances on drinking water, unless you're dead sure. Now, that water might be okay, but, well, I don't think we ought to take any chances.
I guess you're right, Sam. What you and I don't know about nature and the great outdoors sure would fill a lot of books.
You know, Joe, we've been following this trail a long time. Should have come out somewhere before this.
At least we keep going downhill. That's something, and besides,
Joe,
we don't...
look up ahead.
Holy cow!
It's a bear, Joe. Scraping its paws on the tree alongside the trail.
A whopping big bear. Quiet. Don't move. I don't think he sees us.
What are we going to do?
Get off this trail and quick.
Which way?
Up. Yeah. There's less brush and stuff that way. Let's cut through the woods.
I'm ready, Joe. Now?
Now!
Okay, Joe, keep running.
How you doing, Sam?
Behind you?
Yeah. How you doing, Sam?
Not so good. This is rough going.
We sure fooled that old bear, though. Never did see us, I bet.
Yeah, out of the frying pan into the fire, that's us. We don't even have a trail to follow here.
Sam! Over there, look. Isn't that a clearing?
You're right, Joe. And say, there's some kind of a building. Why, it's a little cabin.
I see it. Boy, I wonder if there's any food in the place.
Hey, what's this, Joe? All the little trees. Seems like there's miles and miles of small trees stretching away from the cabin.
I wonder who planted them.
Well, don't ask me. Gee, there's no one around now. Not a soul. We're no better
off. Let's take a look at the cabin.
Well, there's a sign on the door. Maybe it'll tell us where we are.
A lot of good that'll do, but doesn't tell us how to get out of here.
And look, the windows are boarded up. No one here, Joe. We're sunk.
Doggone the luck, Sam. Did you read that sign?
This is Beaver Dam Forest property. All persons are prohibited, under penalty of the law, from committing any trespassing. Reward $100. Wow. Will be paid for information leading to the arrest and conviction of any person charged with destroying or stealing
it. Okay, quit it.
Now what?
There might be some food in that cabin, Sam. If we could just get something to eat. Maybe these boards aren't on very tight.
Joe, don't be a fool. You can't break in. Remember the sign?
Nobody would want us to starve. No, we can't get in this way.
Joe, let's rest up a bit and then push on. There ought to be a road or a trail out of this place. We can find it, Joe.
We'll pay for what we eat. Leave our names. That'll make it okay.
Don't break into the cabin, Joe.
Yeah, this pole ought to do it. Get away, Sam.
Joe, please.
No need to do that, fellas. I've got a key for that.
Who are you? Where did you come from?
He's got a badge on his shirt, Joe.
My name's Bill Scott, boys. I'm the ranger here on Beaver Dam Forest. Now, if you'll just step aside, I'll open that door for you.
We've been lost since yesterday.
Both of us are starved to death and thirsty, too. And we nearly had a run-in with a big bear.
Well, most bears are like most people. They won't bother you if you don't bother them. Now, that's it. Come on in, boys, and watch your step. It's kind of dark inside.
We were going to pay for everything we ate, Mr.
No. My friends call me Ranger Bill, and there's no reason why you can't do the same.
I'm Sam Freeman. This is Joe McGuire.
Howdy, boys.
We're both dishwashers at the boys' camp on Pine Lake.
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't so hungry, I wouldn't have tried
to break. By the way, when did you boys eat last?
Separate camp about 7 o'clock last night.
Golly, seems like a week ago.
I know how that is.
It is dark in here.
I'll tell you what you do. Open a couple of those shutters, Sam. They hook on the inside. That's
yes, sir.
It.
We thought they were just boards.
Ah, that's much better. We can really see something now.
Yeah, but I don't see any food, though. Nothing but empty shells and a lot of tools. Shovels and stuff.
That's right, Joe. Now, suppose you trot outside and bring in my knapsack, hmm? I left it at the corner of the cabin.
Yes, sir.
We didn't hear you come up on us, Ranger Bill.
Well, you were both pretty busy at the time. Then, too, your ordinary woodsman doesn't make very much noise traveling in the woods. You see, you hear more and see more that way.
I get what you mean, sir. But look, Joe, he's a swell guy, honestly. He wouldn't
have... Oh, here's Joe with my knapsack. Right over here, Joe.
This is mighty heavy, Ranger. You lug it on your back?
Only when I have to. All right, set it up on the table. Now, open it up, boys. You'll find some roast beef sandwiches in there, and, here's a hot thug of hot soup right in that thermos jug.
Oh, boy, me for the soup.
Dig in, fellas, but take it easy, will you?
Gosh, this soup tastes well.
Yeah. Sam and I, well, we're crazy about the Woods Ranger, Bill. We plan to spend every bit of our time going hiking, learning about nature, things like that. We get a day off every week and we just
And yesterday was your first day off, I take it?
Today, really. We're not due back in camp until this evening.
Well, you certainly made a good start, didn't you? I mean, getting back to nature.
How far are we from our camp, Ranger Bill?
Oh, I'd say about 12 miles, Sam. 2 miles by foot and 10 miles by my pickup truck, the way we'll go back.
About my trying to break into the cabin, Ranger Bill. Well, you see,
Joe?
Yes, sir.
No real harm was done, son.
That's only because you got here in time.
All right, we'll leave it at that, huh?
I won't pull a stunt like that again, ever.
That's good enough for me, Joe. Now, look, you two, I want
yes,
to...
Yes, sir? Yes, sir.
Well, I want to tell you something. You mustn't let this experience mess up your interest in knowing all you can about the forest. Now, look, anyone can get lost, even the best woodsman.
You mean that, Ranger Bill?
Well, I'll tell you. I'm thinking about Forest Ranger McConnell of the Thunder Mountain Country in Idaho and what happened to him years ago. Well, boys, one winter morning, the telephone rang in his cabin far back in the wilderness. Now, he was ordered to attend a meeting at a ranger station 80 miles away. So he started on that long snowshoe trip through the snow and forest. It was cold and clear, and his only trail was a single strand of telephone wire overhead that stretched for miles through those rugged mountains. Well, Mac got to feeling so good and the weather was so fine that he decided to try a shortcut, away from the telephone line that was his only guide. And it was almost a fatal mistake.
What happened?
Well, Mac got caught in a storm that came up suddenly, a howling, whipping blizzard. And his next 3 days and nights were terrible, terrifying even to him. He spent one night huddled in the shelter of an overhanging bluff, another night beside a big rock, and the third night in an old trapper's cabin. And here he found his only food, a bit of coffee, some sugar, and a can of frozen milk.
He got out all right, didn't he, Ranger Bill?
Yes, Sam, he did, but only by bullheaded courage and a will to live. Each day as he struggled through the snow, he kept fighting the desire to lay down and end his awful nightmare. Well, after several days of stumbling and fighting through, he fell across something hard and brittle. It was the top wire of a pasture fence, and it finally led him to a ranger station in safety.
And that's a true story, Ranger Bill?
Yes, Sam, it is. Of course, I shortened it up some, but it's one of a collection of fine stories about forest rangers that you can find in a book at your library back home.
Gee, it must be a great life being a forest ranger, knowing all about trees and animals, rescuing lost people, fishing, hunting, things like that.
Yes, Sam, but that's what most people think of us rangers, all right. It's not entirely true, though.
What do you mean by that?
Well, simply that a ranger's life is not one big bowl of cherries. For example, I didn't come up here to this plantation today to fish or hunt or even rescue a couple of young explorers.
Why did you come out, Ranger Bill?
Well, to see how those trees were coming along. Now, if you've had enough to eat, let's go outside and I'll show you what I mean.
I'm through.
Me too. Well, let's go.
Now, this, boys, is one of the largest plantations in the Beaver Dam Forest. 5,000 acres, 5 million trees, about 1,000 to an acre, and all growing into a new forest.
Boy, that sure is a lot of trees.
You said plantation. Then Joe was right. All these trees were planted by hand.
Exactly, Sam. A lot of work is represented here in these young, growing trees. Many weeks of harvesting seed, planting it in our nursery, watering the young seedlings, cultivating and protecting them from drought, disease, insects, and animals. And then picking out only the healthiest trees, discarding the weaklings, bringing the good trees in here, and then the back-breaking work of planting them. You know, it's not so cheap, nor is it easy to plant a new forest.
And after all that work, you've got to keep looking after them, protecting them, making sure they'll grow big and strong.
Yes, Joe, that's it. And that isn't always romantic or pleasant, though it does give a fellow a real kick when he plants a new forest. He knows that it means toys and tables and homes. Homes for many, many people.
Why did you have to plant all these trees here, Ranger Bill?
How else would you get this new forest the Ranger's talking about, Sam?
Well, I believe what Sam had in mind was, why didn't we let Mother Nature do the work? And it's a good question, Sam.
Hey, that's right. How come this forest didn't grow just by itself, like most forests?
Well, I'll tell you, Joe. Because of destructive logging and then fire. Yes, when they join forces, they usually give old Mother Nature a terrific beating. 10 years ago, before this became public forest, this whole area was a shambles. Axes and saws had cleaned almost every tree off. And then a raging fire swept up what was left.
So you had to plant.
Yes, Joe, we had to plant. There would have been no trees here for years to come if we hadn't planted.
Look, Ranger, over there. Isn't that a fire in the woods?
What do you mean, Sam? That's the sun setting.
I'm afraid it fools some of our very best fire lookouts sometimes, that setting sun.
That sounds as if you have another story for us, Ranger Bill.
Well, no, not now, Sam. I expect we'd better head back for camp. You're due back about now, aren't you?
Gee, I forgot all about camp.
Ranger Bill.
Yes, Sam?
Ranger Bill, could we, Joe and I, could we go out with you again sometime?
Oh, boy. Will you let us, Ranger Bill, on our day off next week, maybe?
Sure, if you really want to.
Oh, that's swell.
That is, if you don't mind a young lady coming along.
Oh, a girl?
It's my niece, June Cameron. She's coming out to stay at the girls' camp at the other side of the lake.
Gee, we won't mind that at all, Ranger
Bill. Well, then, next time, I'd like to take you boys out to where some logging is going on in the forest.
Not the same kind of logging they did here?
No, Sam, I don't think it'll be necessary to plant that area after it's logged. Fortunately, there are good logging methods as well as bad ones. Say, Joe, what makes you so quiet? What are you staring at?
That sunset. Look at it, will you? The colors, red and purple. And those gold rays shooting the forest through and through. It's beautiful, isn't it, Ranger Bill?
It certainly is.
We ought to start back to camp.
Well, enjoy the sunset with Joe, Sam. I'll lock up the cabin, and then we'll head back to your Pine Lake camp.
You know, Sam, this was some break for us meeting Ranger Bill.
He's a swell guy, all right. And boy, I can't wait till next week when he takes us out to that logging job. That ought to be really something, Joe.
As Sam says, that ought to be really something for all of us when we hit that forest trail again next week with Ranger Bill and an exciting story about crashing timber. And say, if you want that book Ranger Bill spoke about earlier in the program, get a pencil and write down the title. Here it is, Rangers of the Shield by Ovid Butler. Now, did you get that? Rangers of the Shield by Ovid Butler. Bill Scott, Forest Ranger, comes to you with the cooperation of the Forest Service, U.S. Department of Agriculture. Bill Scott is written by Bill Berghoffen and produced for radio by Van Rensselaer Brocon. Your announcer has been Bob Geist.